You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good afternoon, Miami Dolphins fans, and thank you for listening to the post-game wrap-up show here at DolphinsTalk.com, brought to you by BetUS. I am Mike, joined by Dante Colonelli. After this 30-28 loss, the Miami Dolphins to the Atlanta Falcons. Before we jump into everything, first off, a big shout-out to everyone watching and listening at FinHeaven.com. Go to FinHeaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a big shout-out to our To the people watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group run by the great Carlos Hernandez. And, of course, if you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, be sure to subscribe to the channel and smash that like button. So we're going to talk about the game because there's a lot to unpack in this game, which Miami lost. But the big story of the day is not this game because the Miami Dolphins are now 1-6. They went into this game 1-5. Win or lose, it really means nothing at this point. The big story from this of the day is the reporting that's been out the past 24 hours, and that all signs are starting to point that the Miami Dolphins will be trading for Deshaun Watson. So let's start with Friday afternoon. ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington was on the Ryan Russillo podcast, which is up on the Ringer podcast network, and I have a link to it up on the main page of our site. A lot of information was shared there. First off, Jeff Darlington said that the owner, Mr. Ross, is not the force here trying to push a trade for Watson. The push is coming from the people on the football side of the operation. He said Ross wouldn't squash a trade, but he's not the one sort of clamoring for it either. Jeff Darlington also said that the relationship between head coach Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa is not healthy. It's not a healthy marriage, and it's not in a healthy place. What else? There's so much he had on that. And there's been other reports as well. Let me open up this report because I do want there's a couple other things in this report that I want to mention real quick. He said Jeff Darlington also confirmed the Charles Robinson Yahoo report that was out end of August, first week of September, that drove fans of Dolphins crazy. It was fake news making up. Jeff Darlington said that report was 100% true and that the Miami Dolphins were close to trading for Watson in late August, early September. And Jeff went into some other things about fans of the Dolphins and their sort of blind love for Tua Tagovailoa and how he compares that to what Tim Tebow had with the Broncos and why John Elway, the first chance he got to move on, said he had to move on and how that situation is very similar to the one in Miami. Jay Glazer on Sunday morning, Fox Sports, he said that the Miami Dolphins and the Houston Texans are heavily engaged. Those are his words, heavily engaged in trade talks. It would take at least 3 first-round picks and 2 other picks. There have been other teams calling Houston, asking what it would take. Houston has told them you have to match Miami's offer. So it sounds like Miami, Houston have an outline of a trade. And he did also say something will happen by November 2nd. Ian Rappaport on NFL Network said things very similar to Jay Glazer. All of those things are up on my Twitter timeline if you want to actually see them yourself and hear the actual words come out of their mouths. So I guess, Dante, I'll start with you. Are we at a point now where we have to just sort of accept, I think, whether, and once again, we're not talking about the legalities of Watson and what he may or may not have done. That's a whole different conversation. But are we at the point now, especially after this game, where Tua threw 4 touchdowns, I get it, but he threw 2 horrible interceptions as well, which really cost this team the game, that Watson will be a member of the Miami Dolphins prior or on November 2nd?
I don't know if I'm quite there yet, and I think the only reason I'm not quite there yet is because I feel like we've been in this spot several times already where it's the trade is happening, the trade is coming, you know, it's going to be – I feel like every reporter has reported some version of this, and they're guys that I trust, right? So I'm not saying that there is no smoke here, you know, I'm sure that these teams are talking. I'm sure that this trade has probably been outlined and that the Dolphins would have interest in making this move. But I feel like we've been in this position since the summer. You know, at first, you know, Schefter reported it. You know, earlier this week, it was Jim McClain, who's a very, very good reporter, covers the Texans. And it just hasn't happened. It hasn't. And they keep telling us it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it just hasn't. So would I be surprised if Deshaun Watson gets traded to the Miami Dolphins before or on November 2nd? Absolutely not. No, of course not. But I'm not at a place right now where I think it's definitely going to happen, just because they've been telling me it's going to happen for months now and it hasn't. And I think that there is a lot of stuff that needs to get worked out for that trade. I think personally, it would be a downright embarrassment to trade for Deshaun Watson at this point. I think that there's a fair football argument that trading for him would be inherently stupid. So, and that has nothing to do with Tua Tagovailoa, by the way. So, and it's more to do with the fact that this team is 1-6. But, yeah, obviously the off-the-field stuff is disgusting. I don't want Deshaun Watson on the Dolphins, I'm being completely frank. But I'm not at a point where I think that this is definitely going to happen. However, I think it's like, you know, 70-30 type stuff, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of smoke. I'm not feeling too great about it. But they've been saying this for months now. So I'm in a kind of I need to see it to believe it type mode. But like you said, I mean, all these guys, very, very credible reports.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've been hearing this stuff for months, but the one thing now that's not the same is we're up against November 2nd and that trade deadline. And if you're the Dolphins, if you are the least bit interested, next Sunday's game is what, October 31st. Do you want to risk Tua out there on the field behind this offensive line where if they do have a trade also lined up to send him somewhere else where if he's hurt, that team might then back out, which I would crash your trade for Watson. That's number one. So I do think the November 2nd time frame here does change things and does make some of these reports here more likely, I think, than not. And again, all these guys are credible. They're all reporting the same thing. They're all, I mean, everyone ain't wrong. Everyone's not being lied to, and they're not all going to the same source. So that's why I think, again, it might not happen. Maybe the Miami Dolphins have a come to Jesus moment here and be like, why are we even talking about this week? This is crazy. We're just going to bow out gracefully. It could happen. But I do think, you know, these are Jay Glazer, Ian Rappaport, Jeff Darlington, who's as tied in as anybody to the people in South Florida. There's a lot of credibility here with these guys. And, you know, we see this game today from Tua. Let me open up the final stat line for him here. 32 for 40, 291 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It's all about the 2 interceptions. Those were 2 back-breaking interceptions. And when it comes to the 291 yards, you know, a lot of those, pretty much all those passes were just underneath stuff. And you can say that's because of the play calling, that's because of this, and it's all fair. But at the end of the day, they're not pushing the ball down the field. And some of that, I'm not going to say all of it, some of that does fall on your quarterback. They just don't even try to stretch the field.
No, I think that they're in a weird spot where they're really trying to cater to what Tua does well. And what Tua does well is work the middle of the field and work the underneath areas. And I get that, but you know, you can't, that can't be your only, you know, your only trick, right? You got to be able to do other stuff. You got to diversify your offensive profile. And they are just not willing to try vertical shots with wide receivers that are not Devontae Parker and let him go up and make a jump ball play. They don't give those opportunities to Waddle. We saw him get like right one last week. Tua kind of threw it up in a double coverage. Wasn't much going on there. Had the one in the Patriots game, right, where they threw it back shoulder. That was a big play. Outside of those two, can't really pin any where the ball's actually gotten to Jalen Waddle when he's been, you know, running vertically down the field. I think Tua as a whole, honestly, thought he played all right today. I think you're going to disagree with me, and that's fine. The 2 interceptions are bad. I got no defense for either of them. They're not good. I got nothing there, especially the second one. The first one, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, they probably maybe make that throw. Tua, obviously not going to make that throw. The second one, I got nothing for you. That was egregiously bad. Obviously,
well, I'll say this. I don't think he played necessarily, you know, like the whole game was bad. He did throw for 291 yards, 4 touchdowns, just surface level on the numbers. That's like a quality day. My issue is, again, what he did today, just throwing underneath stuff And when you compound that with the two interceptions, there's nothing special about that. I mean, like, there's like probably 35 quarterbacks in the league who could have had this day today, just throwing dink and dunk up the field, not really taking any chances, except for, I guess, the interceptions, I guess, were a chance. I mean, there was just nothing special. This was just sort of take what's there, dink and dunk up the field. We'll score some points. And the last 2 weeks, Jacksonville and Atlanta, I mean, I don't know by the numbers, but they're two of the worst defenses in the league, and we lost both games. So, I mean, and once again, you need a couple games a year for your quarterback to put the team on his back and lead him to a win. He didn't last week, and this week, you know, he tried to, but the interceptions matter. So it wasn't that he was awful. He's the worst quarterback. I'm not trashing the guy. It was like a ho-hum game from a middle-of-the-road quarterback, and I think that's why you see this team in conversation with someone like Watson. Not that saying if Watson was out there, they would have won or anything, but with Watson, you get more wild plays. You get those moments to where he's going to, you know, put a team on his back a few times a year and take him to a win. So I think it's just a ho-hum performance. And when you take a guy 5 overall, you need more than that.
I agree. I think that Daniel Jeremiah has a phrase when he's talking about quarterbacks. He likes to say that some quarterbacks are trucks and some quarterbacks are trailers. Right. You know, are you the one carrying the team or is the team carrying you? And I think that, you know, obviously for me as a scout, right, like I care a lot about sample size and I'm not quite there with Tua yet, but he very much looks more like a trailer than a truck at this point in his career. And I think that obviously that is not going to cut it from a quarterback who was taken number 5 overall. And before like the Tua haters, you know, come out and start attacking me for that, there's a Tua jersey in that closet back there. I'm staring at a picture of Tua right now as I record this. I'm not a Tua hater. I'm a realist. He's been fine. He's been fine.
It's okay. Not good enough, though.
Yeah, and it hasn't been good enough. And that's the problem with quarterbacks that are fine, right? When the things around you are less than fine, a fine quarterback is not going to win you football games, and you end up being 1-6 with 2 losses against teams that you should beat, right? So, again, you know, last year people wanted to talk about QB, and this is why QB wins are a really bad stat, by the way. If you bring QB wins to any argument, you lose. You're a loser. Get out. You get a better number.
You're right.
It's terrible, right? Tua was what, 7-4 technically last year, and everybody was, oh, Tua's a winner. Tua's this, that, and the other. I think Tua's been better than he was last year, marginally in the games that we've seen this year. But again, not enough. He's still an average player. The defense has not been as good this year. And honestly, I'll give the defense was not good today. And I don't think they're a very good unit overall. But like, they did create 2 turnovers down by 6 and set up the Dolphins with good field position twice. They maybe did enough to win the game. Maybe. I mean, I'm not saying they're good. I'm not defending them. They're not good either. But like, they made some plays. You know, and I think that, again, I'm not quite there with Tua yet, but I am leaning trailer versus truck at the moment.
Absolutely.
And if he really is a trailer, right, if we get to the end of the season, there's absolutely no questions to be had about that. Miami needs a full-scale rebuild. It's got to be all 3. It's got to be, you know, I don't know if this is the year to change the quarterback. I really don't. Whether that's the draft, I don't want Deshaun Watson. I don't know what that looks like, but if we get to the end of the season and 2 is a trailer, I don't know how you justify not exploring options.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
God.
That's what you're looking at if you don't go watch him.
I'd rather stick with Tua. Give me your 3 Tua. But outside of that, like Greer and Flores obviously have to go. I mean, 1-6. So, you know, I don't know. That's where I'm at with Tua right now. I'm not quite out on him, and I thought he was okay today. I thought he played well enough for the Dolphins to win, but those 2 interceptions matter. They came at big points in the game where, you know, Miami really could have tipped the scales, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, so let's talk about the game. First things first, talk about the inactives. After playing last week, Noah Igbinoghene went back inactive this week. Again, I don't think he was awful last week. I mean, not great either, but I don't know. Just play. You're 1-5 fighting this game. The guy was a first-round pick. You can't hurt to get him on the field to, you know, 5 or 6 plays a game. Find someone else to put on the inactive list. But Noah Igbinoghene was inactive. Also, Hunter Long, round 3 pick, also inactive. Very questionable there. Parker, he missed this game with an injury, as did center Greg Mantz, who was replaced in the starting lineup by Austin Reeder. And I'll say this about the offensive line. The entire offensive line, for most of the game, I didn't think was that bad, actually. I thought I actually played a solid game. Yes, they had their missed plays, and they had their moments, and they had a few penalties here and there. I get it. They're never going to be a great unit. But overall, I thought the offensive line played pretty solid today compared to previous weeks. I know it's a low bar we're setting here. I know it's a low bar. Trust me. You know, so I thought the offensive line was okay. I mean, it is a weak pass rush here from Atlanta. You have to factor that in. And I'll say this, too. I'll say this, Dante, about the offensive line. You know, the saddest day in a child's life is when he learns that Santa Claus isn't real. But I think the real saddest day in a child's life is when he learns that Austin Jackson is real. Because, again, Austin Jackson was just not very good again today. He had one block late in the game that was like halfway decent. But overall, he's the weak point of this offensive line week after week, and they continue to throw him out there. So not much has changed there. Let's get into this game and start breaking it down. Opening drive, like pretty much every other week for the Dolphins, 14 plays, 75 yards, 7 minutes off the clock, ends in a touchdown. The Dolphins, this offensive staff, you know, all of them, you can trash them, say they're no good, but they are great. They are exceptional. Scripting an opening drive week after week. Malcolm Brown up the middle for 4 yards. He actually left the game with a quad injury, never returned. Tua, short pass to Malcolm Brown for minus one. Tua, short pass to Waddle for 9. Then it was a run by Malcolm Brown for 3. Malcolm Brown for 3. Tua, pass to Waddle for 17. Miles Gaskin for 6. Once again, Miles for 5. Adam Shaheen for 5. Pass for Miles Gaskin for 2. Tua to Mike Gesicki for 10 yards. Then there was a Miles Gaskin run for 2. And then it pretty much ended the drive with a Tua Tagovailoa pass to our old friend Isaiah Ford for a 10-yard touchdown. And the Dolphins script another beautiful opening drive where there's pretty much only 2 negative plays, 1 incompletion and 1 run for minus 1 yards. Otherwise, a beautiful, beautiful 14-play drive for a touchdown. Dante, what did you think of this opening drive?
Man, it was great. They come right out of the gate, a little bit of run, a little bit of pass. Tua looks in rhythm, good chemistry with Jalen Waddle. I thought that was, you know, evident throughout the game. I think those two have a really, really nice connection. Like you said at the top, right, offensive staff can script. You know, they come out every week and they move the ball on the first drive. You know, it doesn't matter if they win or lose the toss. Doesn't matter who they're playing against. They move the ball on the first drive. They, you know, they're really, really good scripting game plans. And then after that, just like, you know, what are we doing?
Deer in the headlights after the opening drive every game.
I think, you know, there's a lot of encouraging signs from that drive. Thought Miles Gaskin a nice day today. Thought Jalen Waddle a nice day today. Dolphins offense converted on third downs fairly well in this game. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but they had a bunch of conversions, 4 on that.
7 of 11 drive on third down. 7 of 11.
It's pretty good. That's about as good as you can ask for, frankly. So that was good. They got 4 of them on that opening drive. So that was not a sustainable model. But like you said, they can script and they come out well. And when Tua's in rhythm, I think Tua's really good. But, you know, the second something goes wrong, it's just kind of, you know, starts to get spotty with him. So encouraging opening drive, did not stay that way the rest of the game, unfortunately.
Yep. And Atlanta, they get the ball next. And guess what? They go 3 and out. They had a 3-play minus 2-yard drive. They go 3 and out. The Miami Dolphins stop them, get them off the field. But then the Dolphins offense, once again, not the opening drive. They have to improvise. They have to think on the fly. And they go 3 and out as well. They have a drive that goes 7 yards, last 90 seconds, nothing there. Atlanta gets the ball back, goes 11 plays, 68 yards, a little over 5 minutes. And they kick a field goal. How many yards is a field goal? A 33-yard field goal. And they get on the board 7-3. They did convert. They had some big plays on this drive as well to lead that. Then Miami gets the ball back. They go 9 plays, 44 yards. They go 44 yards in 4 minutes. Think about this. They go 44 yards in 4 minutes of game time, and it ends in a blocked field goal where the Dolphins just let a guy come untouched up the middle. I don't even know how this happens. Comes untouched up the middle from the right side, I believe, and blocks a field goal. So the Dolphins, they've had the – at this point in the game, has control time of possession. From a yardage standpoint, it's 2-1, and they only lead 7-3, which is the story of the Dolphins. You feel like they're in control of a game, but you look at the scoreboard, and that reflects an entirely different game.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's bad, right? Like, I don't even know what else to say about it. Like, you can't when you have the ball, right, and you move it for that amount of yardage and that amount of time, you have to come away with points. It's almost always like, it's like weird to kind of describe it this way, right? But like every time you have a long drive that doesn't result in points, what's the first thing that immediately pops into your head? The other team's going to go down the field and score, right? Like I don't have like a word for it, an explanation for it. It's like a momentum swing, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And like, again, if you're Miami, right, like, you're not good enough to make these mistakes and win football games. You're just not. You cannot have blocked field goals. You can't, you know, be in third and 15. Like, it's just not. You're not that good. You do not have the juice. And I think, honestly, I think the blocked field goal really changed the tide of the game. You know, you really felt like Miami had it, right? They had all the momentum. They had, you know, they had the lead. It was about to be a two-score lead. And then after that, it was just straight downhill. And constantly playing catch up. And when you're constantly playing catch up, you don't win a lot of football games. So yeah. I don't even know what else to say. Like you said, I have no idea how that blocked field goal happens. I got nothing.
Before we get back to the game, there's a little bit of, I don't know if you want to call it breaking news, but news happening right now, coming from all over the league. Number one, a Carolina Panthers reporter is now reporting that the Panthers are heavily involved and Watson trade talks. They, you know,
they can have him
today. They benched Sam Darnold in the game. He had a horrible game, so he's involved. And also from the Miami Herald, Barry Jackson is saying, as well as Drew Rosenhaus from WSVN, that Chris Greer and Brian Flores have job security after the season, pretty much no matter what. So a little bit of Miami Dolphins news happening right now at 4:45 in the afternoon as we are going through here, the post-game wrap-up show. So after the blocked field goal, Houston takes the ball, 10 plays, 61 yards, a little over 5 minutes, and Matt Ryan passed to Calvin Ridley for a touchdown to give Atlanta a 10-7 lead, which then Miami tries to answer on a 9-play, 61-yard drive, takes over a little over 4 minutes, and Tua Tagovailoa throws a red zone interception in the end zone trying to force a ball into Durham Smythe. I saw one of your tweets in the game there, Dante, saying the pass he tried, there's only a handful of quarterbacks who probably could have made that throw. Tua is obviously not one of them. So what did you think about that red zone interception in the end zone there and that pass that he tried to make?
Yeah, so again, this is going off of broadcast. I'd like to get the all 22 just to confirm it, but I do feel pretty confident about this, right? So they come out with two high safeties, and the safety that ended up making the interception, Jalen Hawkins, was shaded to the outside, right? So he's kind of guarding that, you know, third half of that end zone. He's technically responsible for the 50%, and the other guy's responsible for the other 50, but he's really like kind of shading towards that second half. And like, it's a tough throw. It's a tight window. You've got an underneath zone defender. You've got a zone defender over the top. It's the red zone, so that means space is condensed. That's not a cover two safety who's coming down from 30 yards of space, right? Like, that's a condensed space. It's a very, very tight window. You got to have a hammer to drive that ball in there. Tua does not have a hammer. That is not, you know, that's a throw that Patrick Mahomes makes. That's a throw that Justin Herbert makes, Josh Allen makes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, maybe Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, and Dak Prescott. Like, maybe, right? For me, it's like five that I feel really good about, three maybes. Tua is not even in that, even remotely in that conversation for arm strength, right? Like, that is a throw that requires an elite arm to make. Tua does not have that. That is not an open window if you're Tua Tagovailoa. And I know that's something that everyone on Dolphins Twitter and I pressed him on was, hey, you need to try some more tight windows. There's a difference between trying tight windows and trying covered windows. And that's what we would call a covered window. So for me, that's a bad decision. That is not knowing your own abilities too well. Also, Durham Smythe is not the receiver that you want in that situation either. He made a couple of nice plays today, but I don't know why he's getting so many targets, quite frankly. I really don't understand. Yeah, overall, not a good decision. I don't know how you watch that pre-snap, right? And it's what's so weird, too, about that interception, and now that I'm thinking about it, right, is like Tua is a check down guy.
Right? He didn't check down the one time he needed to.
Yeah, and like that's one, right, where you see that underneath zone defender sink and you see that cover two safety over the top. That's the flat, right? Like that's a good read to throw to the flat. You know, we harp on him for throwing to the flat too much all the time, and I think that there's some validity there, but like, go to the flat on that one, man. You like, why are you forcing corner in the, you know, a corner route in the end zone against cover two? I don't know. That was a bad decision. I know that there's been a lot of debate about that one, but I don't really think there's a legitimate debate to be had, frankly.
Nope. And that turnover led right to points as the Atlanta Falcons went sixth place, 62 yards in about 30 seconds, and they kicked a 36-yard field goal to go up 13-7, heading into the half. And now we're in halftime. You know what that means, Dante. Ah, ooh, ah, oh, my God. Oh, no, it's a bloodbath in here. There's got to be a better way to get my dagger clean and shiny and safely. And this is what I used to deal with when I cut myself shaving before I knew about Manscaped. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping my dagger slick and ready for wherever the night takes me. Manscaped is trusted by 2 million men worldwide. So join the movement by going to manscaped.com using the promo code DolphinsTalk to get 20% off your order and free shipping. It's time to end the days of shaving your balls. It's time to end the days of shaving your balls, ending up looking like a horror movie. The folks at Manscaped have the perfect package for your package to get this done. The below-the-waist grooming leaders have the fourth-generation performance package. Inside, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, and liquid formulations, as well as two free gifts. Spooky season is here, and Manscaped is getting you set, starting with Lawnmower 4.0. Speaking of your best friends, don't forget to give your testies besties the love they desire. Manscaped's liquid formulation. First is a crop preserver ball deodorant under your armpit. Ball deodorant. You put deodorant under your armpits. Why not put deodorant on your balls? And you cannot forget about the crop reviver. Give your boys a boost. Get 20% off by using the promo code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Slay your worst pubes and keep your dagger clean with Manscaped. And guys, sports betting season is on us. And if you listen to the Dolphins Talk Gambling Corner podcast that Tom and myself did Friday night, I gave you Miami plus 2.5. If you listened, you won. You won today. So you might already know this, but BetUS have been the pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost 3 decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. So go to BetUS.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and get 125% sign-on bonus, or use the promo code DolphinsTalk200 and get a 200% sign-on bonus if you pay by crypto. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That's my BetUS. You'll receive 125% sign-on bonus with the bonus code DolphinsTalk. BetUS has all of your Major League Baseball, NFL, college football, PGA, LPGA, NBA, WNBA. If there's a tiddlywinks game in Taiwan, you can bet on it. There are loads of future and NFL odds up. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups, as well as live betting on most sports, including golf. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, social, sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. So, back to this lovely game. Start of the second half. The Atlanta Falcons come out with a three-play, 77-yard drive with a touchdown, Matt Ryan, to Russell Gage for 49 yards right out of the gate. No wasting any time. The Falcons go up 20-7. How does Miami, how do they answer? Five plays, 15 yards, punt. Atlanta, 3-and-out, punt. Miami then comes down the field with a 9-play, 58-yard drive in about 3.5 minutes. Tua Tagovailoa pass to Mike Gesicki, 6 yards for a touchdown. This was another nice drive. Tua hit Adam Shaheen for 5. Miles Gaskin for the 16-yard run. Tua Tagovailoa hit Waddle for 14. Miles with another 3-yard run. Tua has a pass to Adam Shaheen for 6 yards. Salvin Ahmed up the middle for 6. Miles Gaskin for 2 yards. And then Tua Tagovailoa scrambles to the Atlanta 3, but there's a penalty on Jesse Davis, which calls it back. And then Tua hit the touchdown pass to Mike Gesicki. Another solid drive here by Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, it was good. Good response a little bit there, right? The Falcons came out on that opening drive. I don't know what the hell Javon Holland was doing there in deep center field on that touchdown, by the way. But I think, you know, again, right, when Tua looks good, when he's in rhythm, when things are, you know, the way that they're drawn up in the huddle, Tua looks fine. And he can make some plays, and he's generally accurate, and he's a good pre-snap decision maker for the most part, and he can make some things happen a little bit in the pocket and kind of create some different holes in zone coverages if you have to. Like, he can do some good things. He's not a bad quarterback, and I think that, again, like, this was a good drive. Everything was in rhythm. It was good to see the running game get going a little bit there with Myles Gaskin. I see him rip off a couple of nice runs. He had the 16-yarder on this drive. I thought he had a really solid day today. You know, he had a couple, you know, back-to-back weeks where he wasn't very good. I thought he had a nice week this week. Obviously, this was a good drive, Mike. It really was.
Yep. And after the drive, Atlanta goes 8 plays and they punt. Miami punts. And then here's where Miami had an outstanding play here by Xavien Howard, where he came away with an interception, pretty much just ripping the ball out of Calvin Ridley's arms as they're both going to the ground. Miami gets a big play. They're down 20-14. They get the ball with great field position at the Atlanta 32. You're thinking, okay, we got field position. We just got a big turnover. The crowd's getting into it. We're a touchdown away from taking the lead. And then Tua Tagovailoa throws. Now, he's had some bad interceptions in his short time in Miami, including one earlier in this game. This one was by far the worst one he's thrown as a member of the Miami Dolphins. I have no friggin' clue what he was doing.
He was forcing it. He was forcing it. You know, that is the only possible explanation for that play. And I think that, you know, people are going to blame Austin Jackson for getting absolutely dusted right off the snap and getting pressure into Tua's face. But, you know, you just got to eat a sack there. You really do. And, you know, you're just tossing the ball up into the air and in the middle of the field. This was not the same type of throw that he made when he hit Jalen Waddle over the middle against Jacksonville, when he was kind of getting dragged down right. Tua got a lot on that throw. That was, you know, a fairly well thrown football. This was like a pop pass. Like, you know, this was a pop fly. It didn't feel fly rule would have been called on this throw, right? To allow, you know, the Falcons to get under it and make a play. So, I mean, there's just absolutely no excuse for that one. That's, you know, you got to take a sack there. That, you know, your lineman got beat. You're right there. You know, you need points. Even a field goal would have been more helpful than an interception, obviously, especially given the result of this game. I have no excuses there. It's just a really, really bad interception, easy play for the Falcons. And then obviously they made a big return out of it. If Jalen Waddle doesn't run a 4.3 40, that's probably a pick six, for being honest. They ended up scoring anyway, but, you know, just all around bad.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. After that interception, once again, bad interception leads to a touchdown. Atlanta goes 3 plays, 14 yards. Was it 3 play, 14 yards? Well, they scored a touchdown with a pass. That was a Cordell Patterson run for 3 yards and a touchdown. Atlanta goes up 27-14. Miami then answers with a 9 play drive for 90 yards. With a touchdown pass, that was to Myles Gaskin for 7 yards there. So Tua answers with a 90-yard drive there to get them back in the game, 27-21. Then Matt Ryan gets the ball back and fumbles, which leads to another Miami Dolphins touchdown drive. On this drive, went 9 plays, 40 yards, 3.5 minutes, where Tua Tagovailoa passed to Matt Collins for 4. Hold on, was that the touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the touchdown there. And Miami took the lead 28-27 with 2.5 minutes to go in the game. And this is where we got to talk about the Miami Dolphins on defense. They, granted, they're in a tough spot. I know, because it only takes a field goal to win. But the Miami Dolphins today on defense, they couldn't tackle anybody. And on third down, they were brutal as well. Let me get the numbers. Atlanta was 6-13 on third down, pretty much 50%. Miami continues to be the worst team in the league on third down defense. They just let Atlanta march pretty much up the field. Kyle Pitts had a huge day, and he was huge on this drive here, which pretty much ended the game, which it did end the game. Yeah, he had Pitts for 28 yards. He had Pitts for 23 yards. I mean, Kyle Pitts just went nuts. Miami had no answer for him. And Matt Ryan marches him down the field, where they end up kicking a 36-yard field goal to win it as the clock expired. Atlanta 30, Miami 28. Any thoughts on the end of the game here, Dante?
Yeah, I mean, I think you covered it. You know, we had them, what was it, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8 or whatever on the before they got their first down, and then they converted, right? Matt Ryan, I think that was Calvin Ridley, I think, made that first down catch where he kind of turned upfield. That was obviously right there. When they converted that, I was like, oh, yep, no, they're going right down the field now. I was like, you know, it was third and 10. I was like, that was our chance to get off the field. They're going to go win it now. Kyle Pitts is nuts. I don't really, like, he's unfair. Very, very good football player. The one where he beat Xavier Howard, I mean, honestly, I don't think there's any blame to go out there. Great route. Absolutely tremendous throw. Matt Ryan's still good. I think that that's an interesting takeaway. He's clearly not the guy he was, but he's still a good quarterback. No answer for Kyle Pitts. And then I think really where this got away from them is when they let Cordell Patterson just run down their throats at the end of the game, sealed the game with a first down. He had a first down before they started throwing the ball down the field to Pitts. He bounced it outside, broke a tackle or two. Like you said, they couldn't tackle. Defense just isn't that good. And, you know, I think I was on with you for the NFL draft shows, and I was like, look, defensive regression is inevitable. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter if Brian Flores is your head coach or, you know, whoever it is, defensive regression is inevitable. That's just the way the NFL is right now. You cannot win as a defensive focused team. The Dolphins defense, you know, today they made opportunistic plays. Xavier Howard did his thing. Emmanuel Ogba did his thing. Defensive regression is going to happen. The offenses are too good. You can't rely on defense to win you football games. And, you know, the Dolphins defense is probably not even a good defense, frankly. It's just not. They have good football players, right? Individually, you look at the players on paper and you say, okay, these guys can play. This should be a good unit. They're not. They're not a good unit. They're not a good defense.
There's pieces there. There are pieces there. You look at, obviously, Howard and Jones, a corner, very good. I think Christian Wilkins has had a very good season amidst this, you know, awful start. I thought he's played very good this year. I do think Javon Holland and Jones are, in time, are going to be good NFL safeties. I'm not saying they're going to be great. I think those two guys obviously have talent. I think they're going to be good NFL safeties, and they can blitz, and they're very athletic. They got some speed. They can make plays. They're not where they need to be now because they're both so young. But I think there's something there with those two. Nick Needham's pretty good. I mean, he's okay. I think some fans really overrate him and think he's much better than he is, but he's pretty good. But and I think Phillips is going to turn into a halfway decent pass rusher as well. Where the Dolphins are hurt is their linebackers are just absolutely atrocious this year. And I love Andrew Van Ginkle, but Andrew Van Ginkle has made, you know, very few impact plays this year. It's just the truth. And I love the guy. I just think they have expanded his role, and he's not ready for the role he's in. Last year, they asked him to do one thing, and he did it great. And they put more on his plate, and he just hasn't sort of made the move to sort of be that next-level player. Baker, who got hurt in this game, I'm not even sure if he ever returned, but he hasn't lived up to his extension. Landon Roberts, you know, is a nice player, but he's not someone I want to start, and he's in a role where he starts. Linebackers just aren't very good at all. And there's really Ogba, once again, here's the thing with the Dolphins. They have a lot of nice players. In the NFL, you need some superstars. And they don't have a lot of superstars because everybody I just said, you know, nice. I mean, Howard's a superstar, and Jones is not really a superstar, but he's like right on the door. Outside of that, everyone's just nice and good. You can't really say they stink, but they're just – you need impact players, big-name impact players. And that's when you miss on picks in round one, like we have, or – you just, I don't know. You don't sign anyone who's like an impact player in free agency. They need impact players. They just don't have any on that side of the ball outside of like Howard. And when everyone's just okay, this is kind of what you get.
Yeah, I agree. I think that what's really weird too is like, I like Zach Sealer. I like Raekwon Davis.
Yeah, I mean, they're all nice.
Yeah, they're all like fine, right? But as a collective unit, they just don't play well together. You know, like I don't really know where else they go from here. Right. It's like, you know, Javon Holland's a nice player. He blows a deep coverage. It's a, you know, 46 yard touchdown, whatever the hell it ended up being to Russell Gage. Right. Like you lose by two. Holland gives up a touchdown there. We've seen Brandon Jones, nice player, make a ton of boneheaded penalties the past 2 years. He's been called for like several personal fouls and like, but he's a good player, right? You like him. You like what you see from Javon Holland. You know, Raekwon Davis makes a couple of nice plays in this game, but like, is he, you know, his nice play is like, oh, he got to run stuff there, you know, only a 2 yard run. It's not like it's a TFL loss of four fumble, you know, like fine football players. Right. But as a unit, they just don't have it.
And like, no linebackers at all. There's not one linebacker who's played well this year.
No, I don't think so. And I defended Jerome Baker a little bit over the summer. I've been very critical of Jerome Baker. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I thought that was a fine contract extension, right? Because I knew that that number was going to get blown out of the water this year by the other teams. I don't think he's been particularly good this year, and I didn't really love him in the first place, even though I defended him this summer. Obviously, everyone who is a frequent listener of Dolphins Talk knows how I feel about Alandon Roberts. Andrew Van Ginkle, good pass rusher, cannot play in space. He cannot. And like, he was a very limited player coming out of Wisconsin, and the idea that he was going to come in and replace Kyle Van Noy was always asinine to me. And that is kind of always, that's what the Dolphins are trying to have him do, and it's going horribly. And that was very predictably.
Just let him do the one thing he does great. Why
rush the passer? He's a pass
just
rusher.
Let him rush the passer. Him and Phillips, let him rush the passer. That's what they do well. They can learn to play in space, you know, in the offseason, next year in training camp. Work on it then. These are real games where real people's jobs are on the line. And now these guys make their money. Let them play to their strengths. You know, it's a simple concept. Play to their strengths, hide the weaknesses. It's, you know, it's not that difficult.
None. And this gets into like a larger conversation about like Brian Flores and his rigid coaching style that I don't think we really have time for on this post game. But like, you know, everybody knows that, right? Like, you get the gist of it. So I don't know. Defense got some nice players. I don't think you need a full scale rebuild of that unit, frankly. I think
it's a renovation. Not a rebuild.
Yeah. You need a little bit of renovation. I think, you know, a different scheme honestly might help them too. Also, they played a lot of really weird zone coverage today. I don't know why that was a thing that they decided to do against Matt Ryan, of all people. I don't know. I don't think you need to fully rebuild that unit, though.
They got to just fix the linebackers, get another pass rusher, and hopefully some of these young safeties just improve a little bit. Because, once again, they're so young. It's tough to get on those guys because Holland was a second-round pick, obviously, this year. He's so new. And actually thought he did, like, an okay job returning punts. I know a lot of fans are upset. Why is he back there returning punts? He did it at Oregon. He was very good at it there. So
someone's got to do it.
And, you know, with all the wide receiver injuries, you can't – I mean, Waddle can do it, and I'm all in favor of putting him back there. But when literally every other wide receiver is hurt, there does come a point like, okay, we can't lose him too on a punt. So I get it. And Holland was, you know, an above-average punt returner at Oregon, if not a great punt returner there. So why not use him back there as well? You're 1-5 in this game. You got nothing to lose. Start mixing it up a little bit. So I think those two safeties hopefully improve over the rest of this year. And, you know, at some point they got to play no. I mean, you're 1-6. Use the first round pick on them. You might not be in love with what he does in practice. You might not be in love with, you know, the few opportunities he gets in a game. What do you got to lose at this point? Give him, if you can't find, you know, 5 to 10 plays a game to sneak him on the field, to just give him a chance, what is he going to end your season? It's already over, guys. I mean, just play the kid. Let's see what we got there. But I do think they do need to revamp this linebacker group. Landon Roberts should not be back next year. Andrew Van Ginkle, he needs to go back to the role he was already in. And they probably do need to add at least two linebackers next offseason, which is a long ways away. So let's get into some of these numbers here. First downs, Miami. And this is the thing about this game. Miami, pretty much, if you just look at the numbers, should have won this game. First downs, Miami 27-21. Miami had more passing first downs. Miami had more rushing first downs. Third downs, they're about even, 7 of 11, 6 for 13. Miami ran 7 more plays. Miami ran 70 plays to Atlanta, 63. Total yards, edge to Miami, 413 to 397. They each had 11 drives. Yards per play, slight edge to Atlanta here, 6.3 to 5.9, pretty much the same. Passing yards, slight edge to Atlanta, 325 to 281. Rushing yards, though, huge edge to Miami. Miami ran for 132 yards. Atlanta ran for 72. Yards per rush, edge to Miami, 4.6 yards for Miami. For Atlanta, 3.3. Red zone. Miami was in the red zone 5 times, scored 4 times. Atlanta was in the red zone 5 times, only scored twice. Penalties, which has been a huge problem for Miami all year, 6 penalties for 44 yards. Atlanta only had 3 penalties. Each team had 2 turnovers. Time of possession, once again, something Miami's been horrible at this year. They dominated, had the ball for 34 and a half minutes. Atlanta, 25 and a half. Miami pretty much dominated the stat sheet. And just on the scoreboard, they did not. Some individual numbers. Tua had 4 touchdowns. Like I said, 2 interceptions. He threw for 291. On 32 for 40, so he didn't even have that many incompletions. Miles Gaskin, 15 for 67, 4.5 yards a carry. Tua also added 29 yards on the ground. as well. Receiving wise, Mike Gesicki, 7 receptions, 85 yards and a touchdown. He was a go-to guy today for Miami. Jalen Waddle also had 7 receptions for 83 yards. Isaiah Ford caught 1 pass. That was a touchdown. Mac Collins caught 2 passes. That was a touchdown. Smythe caught 3. Shaheen caught 4. So the tight ends, they 7 for Mike Gesicki, 3 for Smythe. There's 10 receptions. Shaheen caught 4. 14 receptions to the Miami Dolphins tight ends today. On the flip side, Kyle Pitts had a day. 7 receptions and 163 yards. Russell Gage, 4 receptions, 67 yards and a touchdown. Ridley, he scored a touchdown, but overall quiet day for him, 4 for 26. I mean, if you had told me that Miami would hold Ridley for 4 receptions of 26 yards, even with a touchdown, I'd say they would have probably won. Wasn't the case today. On defense, Eric Rowe had 9 tackles. Elandon Roberts with 7. Christian Wilkins with 4. Javon Holland had that beautiful sack early in the game there. So overall, you look at the numbers, and on paper, the Dolphins didn't have a pretty bad day. In fact, it was pretty good. But you can't have your quarterback turn over twice, and you know, once in the end zone and once when you're sort of in plus territory. That is the story of this game. So, Dante, who gets your game ball for the Miami Dolphins?
We're handing out game balls today?
what else am I going to talk about? Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go back and talk about Watson again. So, yeah, we're going to give out a game ball here as we wrap up.
All right, I'll give it to Mike Gesicki. Thought he had a really good day. I think he's really flexing his muscles. He's probably a top 5 tight end in the NFL. I think that there's probably a tier of guys above him, but he's right in that second tier. Really, really good football player. Really think Miami should pay him. Tweeted this during the game. I think you can build a really, really good set of weapons around any quarterback with Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki as kind of your two main guys. I think that they showed that they can carry an offense without the likes of Devontae Parker, with no help from Preston Williams. Really like what I saw from Mike Gesicki today, so he'll get my game ball.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Javon Holland. And I know he got beat a couple times in coverage today, but I'm going to put that aside because he had 5 tackles. They're all solo tackles. He had the sack, like we said. He had 1 pass defended, and he also returned punts. I thought the kid, you know, in the first half of this game, every time I looked on the screen, Holland was on the screen doing something. So I'm going to give it to Javon Holland. I thought, you know, overall, nice game for him. I know the defense wasn't good, but I thought for, you know, in his young time in the NFL now, 7 games, and I thought this was his best game as a pro. So I'm going to give it to Javon Holland just to give it to somebody else because I can't give it to the quarterback with the interceptions. And I don't know. I'm going to give it to Javon Holland. So next week, the Dolphins now 1-6 travel to Orchard Park, New York on Halloween. And this is going to be interesting because now the Miami Dolphins must go to a house of horrors where they never win. If you think that this was a hard time today at Hard Rock Stadium, a version of a hard time is going to pale in comparison to the real thing, which is going to be next week when the Bills, you know, are licking their chops to beat up on the Dolphins again. And just, you know, the season's already over. I think the Bills just want to put pretty much the final piece of dirt on the grave. What do you think, Dante?
Oh, I agree. And obviously, Buffalo coming off a bye, you get 2 weeks to prepare for the Dolphins, a matchup that already is not good for you, right? Like, you have not beaten Buffalo in a minute. They thrashed you earlier in the year. They knocked you out of playoff contention the 2 times ago. Not great. You got to go on the road, especially. Do not play well in Orchard Park. Have not played well in Orchard Park. I can't remember the last time the Dolphins played well in Orchard Park, frankly. Yeah, not good. This is 1-7 probably. not good, Mike. Not good at all.
I can't wait to see what the line's going to be in this game. It's got to be over 10. I'm thinking this line's going to open up around 14. Somewhere between 9 and like 10.5 points next week. I think
it's going to be like 14.
It might be. And pretty much now, I think the rest of the year, one thing we can agree on is if you're the Dolphins at 1-6, forget the Watson stuff at 2. We'll put it aside for a moment because however that plays out, it's going to play out over the next probably week. Play the kids. You know, play the kids. It's at that time now where you have to start. If they don't fire Flores and Greer this week, which I don't think they will, and from the report that I read about 10 or 15 minutes ago, sounds like they're not, they have to look towards the future at this point at 1-6. I'm sorry. I don't need to see Smythe and Shaheen every week putting Hunter along. Let's see what he can do. Same thing. I don't need to see Justin Coleman, or some other guys in secondary, find a couple snaps a game where you can play Noah Igbinoghene. Solomon Kinley, you know, this offensive line is just awful more times than not. Solomon Kinley looks like he's so out of shape. I don't know where this guy walks around, but wherever it is, the air must have carbs. I'm telling you, find a way to put Solomon Kinley on the field. Play some of these kids. Let's see what we got, because there's nothing else. Jones and Holland should be out there at safety as much as humanly possible. I like Eric Rowe, and it's not his fault, but you can start to phase him out. Same thing with McCourty. These guys are on their last legs in the NFL. More McCourty than Rowe. You can phase them out a little bit here. Let's see what we got with the kids. Wide receiver, I mean, everyone's hurt. You got to play who's ever healthy really there. But let's start getting these kids out there.
I agree. No, you need to treat this honestly. I don't think they will, right? Oh, knowing Brian Flores.
Yeah. They're too stubborn.
Yeah, no, they're too damn stubborn. But I agree with you. You need to treat this almost as if, you know, you're an evaluation period. You need to figure out what you have in these young players. You need to figure out who's going to be back for you next year. You know, when it was, you know, when the team was 1-3, 1-4, all right, you know, fine. Maybe you got a shot. You know, you win your next two, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're 1-6. Season's over. You're done. You're out. Goodbye. Start playing the kids. You got nothing to lose. You're 1-6. And I think honestly, what's really weird about this is that like head coaches who are typically in this position, you know, they always say, well, I'm trying to win games. You know, that's going to save my job. Nothing's going to save your job winning games at this point. What are you going to do? You're going to go 6-11 instead of 4-12. What does save your job is say, hey, look at all these young players I developed this year. Look at how good Brandon Jones looks. Look at how good Javon Holland looks. Look at Jalen Waddle. Look at Jalen Phillips. Look at these players that I'm developing, and they like, you know, they have a home here, and I'm their coach of the future, right? So we can, you know, you can kind of market yourself as somebody who's capable of developing that young talent if you give them an opportunity to play and they play well. If they don't play well, you're 1-6 anyway. Who the hell cares? You know, so I'm with you. Don't think it's going to happen, though. I think Igbinoghene will be inactive next week. I think Hunter Long will be inactive next week. I don't think we'll see Solomon Kinley in the lineup either. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get the thought, especially if they've gotten a heads up or they know they have security to come back next year. If they've been told that, like there is a report out that they have been told, or they know that. It makes no sense, because you're going to play guys who aren't going to be like, there's a good chance that Smythe won't be here next year, because you drafted Hunter Long for a reason around three. He's got to replace somebody. And I know Smythe's in the final year of his deal, as is Mike Gesicki. Odds are one will be back or none of those guys will be back. So Long's going to be here next year. You might as well play him now, get in some work. But the big story, though, as we head into this next week, if there is a trade for Tua, I don't think it's going to be, it has to be prior to next Sunday, because you can't risk putting him on the field on Halloween with the trade deadline on November 2nd, because if he got hurt, then any trade you might have lined up for him to go somewhere to get a pick that you're going to send to Houston, which is probably going to be part of this deal somehow. You can't risk him getting hurt. So I think if anything happens on Watson, it's going to happen between, you know, tonight and like next Friday or Saturday, I guess. So that's when we're going to hear something. And again, I can see in the chat people are hating me. Look, I'm not saying they should trade for Watson. I'm just telling you what other people are reporting. It's a moral choice. A lot of people are going to have a tough time with. They're not going to want to root for him. They don't want to root for him. And I understand that. And I totally get it. Look, it's a tough spot. He's been accused of some horrible things, but this is the situation we're in. Again, all the reporters aren't making this stuff up, guys. Okay, the Miami Dolphins are talking to them about possibly adding Watson. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Here's the other side to this. Even if they don't trade for Watson, let's say Watson stays in Houston, the story ain't going away. It just means every week now until the offseason, is Miami going to trade for Watson in the offseason? Tua had a bad game. Maybe they're more interested in Watson. Now, the story's never going to go away. It's never going to go away until Watson's actually traded. So if you think on November 2nd at 4 p.m. Eastern time, Watson's still in Houston, we're done, they're going with Tua. No, it means they're stuck with Tua until March, and any trade will happen in March, and the story's not going to die, because if the Dolphins are talking to Houston now, they're going to be talking to him, guess what, in December, well, in all November, December, January, February, until you can make an next trade. So the story's not going to go away until Watson is officially traded. We will follow that all week here on the website. Go to DolphinsTalk.com for all the latest. Follow me on Twitter, at Dolphins Talk for all latest. And as we close up, Dante, I want to tell you about my fantasy football hell this year. First three rounds, I'm in a couple leagues, but there's one like main league, which like real money on the line. I get the number one pick. I never get the number one pick. Number one pick. Christian McCaffrey, what's the odds he gets hurt twice in a row, 2 years in a row? Okay, I knew the risk. Gets hurt out a little bit. Okay. Round two, Clyde Edwards-Helaire on IR. Okay. Round three, Miles Sanders. And as we're recording, gets carted off the field in Philly. My first three running backs all out and on IR because I know, look, they weren't even using him anyway, Sanders, so it's not even like a big loss. But the fact that they had to cart him off the field for some sort of an ankle injury is just par for the course in this fantasy league, which I have no shot of winning this year, clearly, because all three of my first three picks have suffered serious injuries. So I can't win this year.
It's on
the field
here,
with the
man.
Dolphins are fancy. McCaffrey, Edwards, and Sanders, all with injuries. You've got to be kidding me. Got to be kidding me. So everyone follow Dante Colonnelli on Twitter at Dante Colonnelli. Be sure to read The Blitz every morning around 9 a.m. Eastern at MiamiDolphins.com, written by yours truly. Go to MiamiDolphins.com, read The Blitz every day. And like I said, DolphinsTalk.com will keep you up to date with all the rumors. We could see some other trades too this week, Dante, whether Parker might be sent somewhere, Will Fuller could be sent somewhere. Howard and Jones, could they trade one of them? One stunned me. Would not stun me in the least because, once again, this is now all about the future. And I don't know. I think we know Chris Greer likes to make trades, and he probably ain't going to lose his job this week, so he's going to be active. And it's time to look towards the future, and we can crack all the jokes we want about how he screwed up the draft. You can't quit. I mean, you got to keep trying. So if the Miami Dolphins make a couple small trades, maybe you move Will Fuller for like a pick in round six or something. Send him on his way. He's probably not going to be back anyways next year. Well, who knows if they send Watson, he might. But you got him. You got Parker. You know, some team was in contention. Might need a wide receiver. Might be time for Miami to just wash your hands of him. And you got two superstar corners. Maybe you only need one, and you open up some salary caps. But we'll see. But we'll see. But anyways, Miami Dolphins lose to the Atlanta Falcons 30-28. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.